poor Joan ain't got nobody. She's nobody's sweetheart now.
Featuring the romantic singing of Andy Russell. With a great comedy cast, including Verna Felton, Shirley Mitchell, the music of Paul Weston and his orchestra, yours sincerely, Harry Von Zell. And here's the star of our show, America's Queen of Comedy, Joan Davis.
Oh, no. Hey, Joan, don't do that. Oh, dear. Joan, stop throwing lumps of sugar into that trumpet. It's no way to get sweet music. No. Joan, listen, come over here with you. I want to talk to you.
What do you want, Harry?
Well, Joan... Oh, dear, you're a bad girl. Joan, listen, I wanted to ask you how you're coming along with your new picture at Universal.
Oh, fine, Harry. You know, I play the part of a college professor in it, and it's done wonders for me with my next-door neighbors.
In what way?
Well, before this picture started, when I used to go to work, my neighbors would point to me and say, "There goes that dopey Joan Davis."
Oh.
But now when I go to work, I carry books under my arms, and you know what my neighbors say?
What?
"There goes that dopey Joan Davis with books under her arm."
Oh.
Swanville, USA, February 25th. This week, one of the main topics of world discussion still centers on the United Nations organization and its search for a permanent location for its world capital. To date, the committee has more or less discarded all sites which have been proposed. But nowhere in the world will you find a more discarded site who has been proposed to less than in...
Johnny's Tea Room. Joan Davis speaking. Hello, Mrs. Cooper. Gee, I'm all excited. A man called me long distance from Washington and said he wanted to reserve my tea room tonight for a banquet for the UNO. Yes, isn't that wonderful? I'm going to fix up a real international menu for him. I'll start with Russian caviar, follow up with Scotch broth, then Hungarian goulash and French pastry. Then for drinks, I'll serve coffee, that represents Brazil, and tea, that represents China. What about milk? Well, that represents America. Sure, it takes a Yank to get milk.
Oh, jeepers, Joan, what a break that is, huh? The UNO holding a banquet in your tea room.
Yeah, Harry, I just can't believe it.
Gosh, Miss Davis, what an honor for you, greeting all those world-famous statesmen.
Oh, just think, Andy, me, Joan Davis, preparing every dish for each one of them personally.
Yeah.
Why, after this banquet, I'll be able to walk up to people on the street and say, "Shake the hand that squeezed the beets that made the borscht from Molotov." Harry, you better start boiling the potatoes for me.
Yoo-hoo, Miss Davis. Yoo-hoo.
Oh, it's Mrs. Rosella Hipperton.
Hello, Miss Davis and Mr. Russell and Mr. Von Zell. Hello.
Hello, Rosella.
Say, Hippie, you're just in time to hear the exciting news. My tea room is being taken over for a big banquet by the UNO.
The United Nations Organization meeting in your tea room? Oh, Miss Davis, you have a sardonic sense of humor.
What kind of sense of humor?
Sardonic. Don't you know what sardonic is?
Oh, sure. When two sardines get married, they have a little sardonic.
But it's really true, Mrs. Hipperton. Joan received a phone call from a man from the UNO, and he's coming over here to make the final arrangement.
The UNO here in Swanville?
That's right.
Oh, Miss Davis, you must let me help you entertain them. It'll be a world-shaking event.
World-shaking? Hippie, you mean you're going to do the rumba?
Say, Miss Davis, a taxi just pulled up in front of the tea room, and a man is getting out.
Oh, that must be the man from the UNO. Hippie, you and Andy and Harry wait in the kitchen. I think it's best if I talk to him alone.
Oh, I'll wait. Oh, I'm so excited.
Miss Davis?
Yes, I'm Miss Davis.
Well, my name is Clem Attlee. I'm president of the UNO.
President of the UNO?
That's right, the Umpires National Organization.
Umpires National Organization?
That's right, UNO.
UN... Uh-oh. You mean you're a baseball umpire?
Yes. Well, I'm certainly glad I found your place open. I passed another restaurant down the street, and they were on strike. and I was afraid that you might be on strike two.
Have to yell at me. I can hear you.
Oh, excuse me. Sometimes it's hard for me to forget I'm an umpire.
Oh, I see.
Now, about this banquet, Miss Davis, make it simple. No entertaining, no dancing. We don't want this to be a ball.
Well, that's two strikes and one ball now. See, tell me, Mr. Adley, how many umpires will there be altogether?
Oh, about 60. However, if there are any more, I'll phone you. So kindly leave word where you'll be in case you're out.
What do you mean that last one was down around my ankle? Anyhow, Mr. Adley, what do you want for the main course of your dinner? Chicken or steak?
Well, personally, I prefer chicken. I like fowl. Oh, excuse me, Miss Davis. I guess you'd like to be paid in advance for the banquet. Would you prefer a cash or a check?
Well, you better give me a check. I don't have any place to keep that much cash. I don't have a safe. You got me doing it, see there?
Oh, yes, sir. Before I forget, Miss Davis, I want it understood that this banquet is to be kept an absolute secret.
A secret? Why?
Well, we're having a little trouble with the Washington Senators in the American League. They're protesting our decision on a stolen base.
Oh, I won't say anything.
Fine. I knew you were the kind of person I could count on to play ball. See you later, Miss Davis.
Oh, gee, it's nice to have an umpire around the tea room. While he was talking, he dusted off all the plates.
Oh, Miss Davis, it's true, it's true. The UNO is really going to hold a banquet in this tea room.
Hiffy, were you listening at the keyhole?
Miss Davis, how dare you insinuate that I would listen at a keyhole? Apologize.
All right, I apologize. Now, will you take the key out of your ear?
Well, Joan, we may as well admit it. We were all listening at the keyhole.
You were? What did you hear?
Well, I heard Mr. Atlee admit that he was the president of the UNO.
Yeah, and I heard him admit that they were having trouble with the Americans in the league.
Yes, and I heard him say the senators from Washington were protesting a base that was stolen. Isn't that so?
Yeah, that's right. And not only the senators, but it involves a lot of other people, too. The umpires, the Yanks, the Reds.
My goodness, the British Empire, the Americans, and the Russians. Imagine me meeting the big three in person.
Imagine them meeting the big three in one person. Well, anyhow, Hippy, this doesn't mean what you think it means.
Oh, Miss Davis, stop being ridiculous. What else can all these facts point to but the United Nations organization?
Well, I can't tell you that, Hippy. I promised to keep it a secret.
Oh, I must run over and tell Mr. Weatherby the big news.
Yeah, but Hippy, you're
and
wrong.
And then I must tell Mrs. Stradmore.
Then
I must tell all the members of my ladies' literary
you
society.
You see, I've
don't worry, Miss Davis. Your secret is safe with me.
Secret is safe with her? I might just as well tattoo it on the upper lip of Van Johnson.
Well, Joan, really, after what we overheard, why don't you admit the truth of this affair?
Well, I can't, Harry. I was sworn to secrecy.
Oh, well, Joan, you can tell me. I tell you everything. Who I go out with, where I go, what I do.
Well, you didn't tell me what you did last Saturday.
Oh, well, Joan, I was going to keep that a secret, but now that you forced me, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up Saturday morning. I felt very low. I looked all over the apartment, but I couldn't find any. I grabbed my portable typewriter and left. I walked up and down 3rd Avenue looking for a pawn shop. Finally, I found one. I pawned my typewriter. At last, I had enough money, so I rushed into a store and bought it. Clutching the package tightly in my hand, I rushed back to my apartment. At last, I was alone. With trembling hands, I tore open the package, and there it was.
A bottle of Pepsi-Cola?
No, a cake of Swan. Oh, yes. Swan. The answer to my washing desires. Swan, the new white floating soap that's pure as fine Castiles. The soap that's 4 swell soaps in one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could have seen it, you too would have known that it's so mild, it's great for baby and for you. And Swan's so hardworking, too. It's a natural for dishes and light laundry. Tenderly, I picked it up, and with a quick twist of the wrist, I broke it in half.
Mm.
There. Now I had 2 generous cakes of soap. You know what I did?
What?
I put half in the kitchen, and I hid the other half for later. But then suddenly I was overcome with the desire to use it. Where had I put it?
Frantically, I began to search for it. First under the couch. No, it wasn't there. Then I pulled all the books out of the bookshelf. No, it wasn't there. I rushed to the window to see if it was dangling at the end of a string. No, it wasn't there. Where was the other half? Where was it? Where was it?
Did you look in Ray Milland's bathroom?
No, but at last I realized where I had hidden it. It was in the chandelier. I grabbed my ladder and got my precious cake of swan. Swan. For every soap and water job in the house, I had it. I had it. What an experience. What a soap. What a dough.
Gentlemen, you have just heard the Harry Von Zell Players present The Lost Soap Inn. But anyhow, Harry, in spite of your confession, I still can't tell you my secret about the UNO banquet tonight.
Say, Miss Davis, what do you want me to do at the banquet? Do you want me to sing for the guests?
Well, Andy, they said they didn't want any entertainment, but I do, so why don't you sing for me?
What?
Anything.
Now?
Sure.
Gladly.
Swell.
Ready?
Certainly.
Okay.
Oh, there's nothing like an intelligent conversation. And this was nothing like it. Better sing it.
The crowd sees me out dancing, carefree and romancing, happy with my someone new. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. They see me night and daytime, having such a gay time. They don't know what I go through. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. No one knows, it's just the pose, pretending I'm glad we're apart. And when I cry, my eyes are dry, the tears are in my heart. My darling, can't you make a, ever since our breakup, make-believe is all I do. I'm laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you. I do. I'm laughing on the outside and crying on the inside, 'cause I'm still in love with you.
Little knowing the actual facts, the exciting news of the UNO banquet spread like wildfire through the town of Swanville. When word finally reached the Swanville City Hall, industrious, hard-working Mayor Augustus Fenimore dropped all civic administration problems, turned to his secretary and said,
"What are you doing tonight, babe?"
And at this very moment, just outside the hub of all this excitement, Joni's Tea Room, Swanville's most prominent banker, Joshua P. Weatherby, is in earnest conversation with his daughter.
Barbara, with this banquet being held in Joni's Tea Room, it probably means that the United Nations organization has selected Swanville as its permanent world capital. If this is true, we're in for a great boom in this town, and I want to get in on the ground floor.
Well, what do you want me to do, Peter?
You must convince Miss Davis that I am the only person to properly act as host to these dignitaries.
But, Peter, you know I hate to ask Miss Davis for anything. I dislike her, and she dislikes me. Besides, she's so stupid, so uncouth, so ignorant.
Very true, but beside the point. I want you to go in and convince her. Go out of your way to be sweet to her. Do you understand?
I'll try, Peter.
Good. I'll wait out here.
Hello.
Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Miss Weatherby.
Well, ain't you going to say hello to me, Babs?
Oh, Miss Davis, forgive me. I didn't see you. Why, you look positively beautiful today.
Eh? Who's she talking about?
Oh, why, you, Miss Davis, you look lovely. And I especially admire your gorgeous coiffure.
My what fur?
Coiffure. Coiff.
Hey, this kid's got a bad cold. Well, Harry, just don't stand there. Get the kid a cough drop.
Davis, you have such a wonderful sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But seriously, you really look very smart.
Oh.
Where did you get that lovely dress?
You like it, Babs? I made it myself.
Oh, how practical. Where did you get the pattern? Out of Harper's Bazaar?
No, out of Popular Mechanics.
Popular Mechanics?
Yeah, it was originally designed to be an automobile. Now I got the only skirt in town with a pleated bumper. Oh, come on, Bab. Stop beating around the bush. What's your real purpose in coming here?
Well, frankly, Miss Davis, I came here because of my pater.
Your potater? What's he got to do with this?
Well, we heard of the UNO banquet to be held in your tea room, and I thought it would be an excellent idea for you to ask him to act as official host at this affair.
Oh, no, you don't. No, sir, I'm the hostess of this affair, and what's more, they told me that they don't want any outsiders.
Outsiders? Why, if anyone's an outsider at this affair, you are.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Well, I would. Miss Davis, stop deluding yourself. Place this affair in the proper hands and go back to your humdrum existence.
Humdrum?
Yes.
It's pretty hard to do, ain't it?
What is?
Hum and drum at the same time?
Oh, Miss Davis.
Won't the drumming drown out the humming?
Oh, fiddle faddle.
Fiddle faddle? That I can do.
What?
Fiddle and faddle at the same time. Watch me, dee 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 dee.
Oh, and potato. And potato wanted me to be sweet to you.
A sweet potato.
Oh, you're impossible.
Well, Barbara, dear, how's everything going?
Oh, Kate, I don't know how anything's going, but I know I'm going. Good day, Miss Davis.
Well, my daughter seemed rather put out. Well, no matter. My, Miss Davis, you certainly look beautiful today.
Well, here we go again. Now, look, Mr. Weatherby, I know what you're here for, and it's no use. I promised the man from the UNO that I would be the hostess at his affair myself. And besides, the UNO is not what you think.
Oh, really, Miss Davis? Everyone knows that the UNO is the United Nations organization.
But this UN...
Oh, come, Miss Davis. Let's get to the point. I'm a practical man, and you're a practical woman. Isn't that so?
Well, I'm practically a woman.
Exactly.
Yes, I'm a woman.
So I'm prepared to make you a
business
proposition.
You're a man, and I'm a woman.
If you will give me
you know
the
how
privilege
I feel about
of being
you.
The host at the UNO affair tonight, I will turn over to you my daughter's half-interest in this tea room. Is it a deal?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Weatherby, because...
Gosh, Miss Davis, isn't this the one thing you're always dreaming about?
Well, coming from you, Andy, that's a pretty silly question. Now, if you'll just think that one over.
Well, Miss Davis, what do you say?
Well, take it, Joan. Go on, take it.
But, Harry, Mr. Weatherby doesn't know what he's doing. This UNO affair isn't what he thinks it is.
No matter what it is, Weatherby's word is as good as his bond.
All right, Mr. Weatherby, I'll do it on one condition.
What's that?
That your snooty daughter, Barbara, acts as my waitress for the banquet tonight.
Agreed. Oh, what a triumph this will be for me. And oh, what a lesson this will be to what you so delightfully refer to as my snooty daughter, Barbara. Well, Miss Davis, here I am, ready for the banquet. And here, as promised, is your new waitress, my daughter Barbara.
Oh, Peter, this is so humiliating.
Oh, come, come, Babs. It ain't so bad. You better start setting the tables. Use the good napkins. You know, the ones with the name embroidered on them.
You mean Joni's Tea Room?
Yeah, Joni's Tea Room. A-S-T-O-R. Joni's Tea Room.
Come on. Miss Weatherby, come on with me, and I'll help you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Von Zell, but I feel so depressed. I've been up in my room all afternoon crying. I didn't even come down for dinner. Oh, I feel terrible.
Oh, well, now, there, Miss Weatherby. You come into the kitchen with me, because I have something in the icebox that'll make you feel better.
A leg of lamb?
No, a cake of swan.
What?
Swan, you know, swan. You can wash away all your tears with swan, because Swan's the new white floating soap that's pure as fine Castiles and so mild that doctors recommend it for a baby's tender skin. And if Swan's good for babies, it's got to be good for your hands and face, your tub or shower. Yes, Miss Weatherby, wipe away your tears. Swan will make you feel much better. Isn't that so, Mr. Weatherby?
Yes, but Mr. Von Zell, I think you'd better start getting things ready for the meeting of the delegates. As host of this affair, I can't afford to disappoint.
No, disappoint. Well, first let me make disappoint. You, Swan. Oh. Well, I had some more to say. You see, naturally, if Swan's safe enough for a baby's tender skin, it's got to be kind to even the finest fabrics. Yes, sir, Swan's gentle and a honey for suds, even in hard water. That's Swan. What a soap. What a wonderful thing.
Well, here I am, Miss Davis. The rest of the delegates will be here soon.
Well, it's Clem Attlee.
Clement Attlee. Oh, I'm certainly glad to meet you, Your Excellency.
Excellency? They never call me that in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn? You British have such a unique sense of humor.
British? Miss Davis, who is this foul ball?
Oh, this is your host, Joshua P. Weatherby, Swanville's leading banker.
Hiya, Josh. Oh, say, Miss Davis, I've had a few cancellations. The delegates from the International League aren't coming.
They're not?
No, but it only amounts to three cancellations.
Three cancellations?
That's right. There'll be three out.
Well, now it's our turn to bet. We'll moiter them bums, won't we?
Hey, wait a minute. Three out, foul ball? What? This doesn't sound like world politics. It sounds more like baseball talk.
Of course it's baseball, young fellow. What else would you expect an umpire to talk about?
Umpire? Baseball umpire?
Sure. What do you think the UNO stands for? United Nations Organization?
Of course. What else could it stand for?
Umpire's National Organization, and that's what I've been trying to tell you. Well, now you know, Mr. Weatherby, go ahead, ball me out.
I certainly will.
And I suppose you want to ball me out too, Babs.
I certainly do.
And are you going to ball me out, Harry?
You betcha.
I thought so. What about you, Andy?
Oh, no, Miss Davis, I'm past balling you out.
Past ball? How do you like that? It finally took an error to get me to first base with Andy.
Folks, Joni will be back in a moment. Meanwhile, what is it that Swan soap has that you don't find in coarse, strong soap? It suds plus mildness. Sure, Swan does the dishes to a dazzle. It suds up like 60 for light laundry. It keeps hubby singing in the shower and baby cooing in his tub. Sure, but there's more to it than that. Swan soap is mild, baby mild. Strong soaps may leave your hands rough and red, but Swan leaves them soft and lovely. Yes, sir, Swan is just what the doctor ordered for baby. And for your hands or face, for your complexion, Swan, S-W-A-N, is the new white floating soap that's pure as imported Castile. And now here's Joni again. Say, what's happening in Swanville next week, Joan?
Well, I don't know, Harry. My writers tell me I'm going to be very sick, and they may be right. I don't feel any too good now.
Oh, that's silly, Miss Davis. You look fine to me. Here, let me feel your pulse.
Okay. Gee, Andy, I feel better already. You always make me feel good. It's too bad you're at such a difficult age.
Difficult age?
Yeah, too young to marry and too old to adopt. Oh, well, good night, everybody.
The Joan Davis Show, presented by Swan Soap, is produced and directed by Dick Mack and is written by Jay Summers, Jack Harvey, and Cy Will. And remember, friends, that used fats from your kitchen are still urgently needed to help make all sorts of things, from soap to nylons. So take every drop to your meat dealer, won't you? And stay tuned to this station, and in 5 minutes you will hear the Lux Radio Theater. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.